If you're here and you're queer, say Q-U-E-E. Are you Q-U-E-E? Are you Q-U-E-E?
This is DJ MCBT, and you are listening to Queer Nation.
Everybody across this nation.
That's FM 69 on your dial.
If you're a queer, this is the station.
We've got some stories from the West Coast. It seems in Portland, because of the same-sex marriage hullabaloo, all of the state's queers are going on strike.
Every queer across this nation is going on strike. It's a new sensation.
It's a new
MCBT, and you are listening to Queer Nation.
Everybody across this nation. If you're a queer, this is the station.
That's right. If you're a queer, this is the station. We'd like to thank Fontana for playing the theme to Queer Nation this evening. And if you stick around right after this next break, we're going to play their new song, I'm Not Gay. But my boyfriend is.
This is J.D. Doyle, and welcome to Queer Music Heritage and Part 2 of my Queer Nation show. And that song was called Queer Nation, and was from Von Tanner's 2005 album, The Beauty and the Beats. It's a more lighthearted take on the subject, and I played it to point out the changing usage of the term. There was even an Australian dance music compilation issued in 2004 named Queer Nation. To me, the increased widespread use of the term again demonstrates the reclaiming of it, thanks to the original work by the organization Queer Nation, back in the early 90s. Regular listeners of the show know that a pet interest of mine is the music of transgender artists. I just feel that their music and their journeys do not get enough exposure, and I always delight in bringing you more, and there's more coming up. I'm going to stay in a very queer vein for this segment, and I've got special interviews with the duo Good Asian Drivers, which I think you'll find inspiring. But first, I want to visit Michelle Garcia, who, while now living in Nashville, had quite a history on the West Coast. In addition to her activism work, she was crowned Miss Transgender San Francisco in 2000 and has released a number of albums. But one in particular caught my attention, which should not surprise you. It's called San Francisco Queers.
San Francisco Queers, or SF Queers as it's also known as, it covers a lot of queer life, from celebration of the spirit to songs that really speak about the challenges we face as an alternative lifestyle. And I feel that there are some explicit songs about being transgenders and others that are more centered on LGBT issues. But what's really happening in SF Queer is that it tells the story of the queer lifestyle, from the joy we experience from sexual freedom to the pain and suffering that we endure from being different. Even though there's heavy songs that have a sense of truth and clarity in them, I also feel that there's some joyful songs, and it gives the listener a chance to feel that it's okay that you're listening to an artist that really cares about you and may even understand you better than most.
Tell me about the song San Francisco Queers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course, it's the title track. I wanted to create a song that was totally about being queer and being in a city that was respected all around the world. And I feel that I brought it home because being from San Francisco, you get the inside story of all the little things that make it so special. And that's what the song, I feel, helps to convey.
We are, we are, we are, we are, we are. Others sometimes fear. We are San Francisco queers. Whoa, whoa. And we're gonna rock this house tonight. Down at the end of Market Street, there's a little bar where queers meet. Boys in dresses. Changing, who will answer the call? Genders exchanging places, men look at us, we're dolls.
You're the first ones to party, you're the last ones to leave. She might be tardy, but we're always good for teens.
Tell me about the song Trans Woman.
Trans Woman is a kind of a comedy approach to the lifestyle of what it is to be a trans woman. So many folks in the industry, in the entertainment industry, like to poke fun at, you know, somebody that might be a tranny, as it's called. But I believe that there's more of a heart and there's more of a center to the trans woman, and I think I captured it in that song.
Woman Enterprises, how can I direct your call?
Oh, girl.
What, honey?
Hey,
downtown.
What are you doing downtown?
Yeah, just shopping for shoes.
I love shoe shopping. Just remember that a good pair of heels can always double as a self-defense unit.
You're full of good ideas. But I like shoes that can also double as a champagne glass. Yeah.
She's a brand new girl, got a smile for the world. Don't be rude to a trans woman. From withdrawal, she's no good trans woman. She ain't coming from behind, so get her bottom out of your mind. She's rising to the top, where she can in the choir sing. Out, I'm out. You're a hot gay man. Greet God with a damn. Just be safe, keep the faith. Say I am.
During our talk, it came up that Michelle was her real first name.
Yeah, I was born with the name Michelle Garcia, and I didn't use it at all because I got laughed at because, I mean, you know, having a girl's name. And so I use my middle name, which is Aaron. You know, they laughed at me all through high school and everything for having a girl's name. And so I stopped using a Michelle after I graduated from high school. And for all those years, and the last 15, 16 years, you know, then I dropped my old name, and then I used my original name.
That's right. Interesting. So Michelle was like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, you know, it's on my birth certificate. What can I say? You know, the fool Michelle Aaron Garcia.
Again, that was Michelle Garcia, and her album San Francisco Queers is a digital release only, so you can find it at sites like Amazon or iTunes. On to the duo Good Asian Drivers and my main interview. Good Asian Drivers are lesbian singer-songwriter Melissa Lee and trans man spoken word artist Kit Yan. When I first heard their album called Drive Away Home, I was immediately struck not only by the music, but also by the powerful slam poetry of Kit Yan. And then I found that Melissa Lee also has released her own album, called 2 Seconds Away, which also impressed me. I named both of their albums in my Best of 2009 show. I started out by asking Melissa about her album.
2 Seconds Away is my first album, released in 2007. It comes from a very personal place, and I write about love and other relationships. It features layered vocals and a lot of orchestrations that was produced by brilliant and talented producer and musician Chris Takeda.
And how about the song 2 Seconds Away?
2 Seconds Away is about a relationship that I've been in, and it was exciting for me to write that song because of the first time that I felt like I had come up with a hook that I genuinely felt was really good and catchy. And yeah, it's basically about being on the edge of something really great and just trying to reach for it, you know, not necessarily knowing if you'd get there or not, but the act of trying to reach for it is enough in a lot of ways.
Why did you make it the title track?
Well, I made it the title track because I felt like that was, in a sense, a metaphor of what I was trying to do with my life, too. You know, I'm trying to reach a goal. I'm trying to get a lot of people to listen to my music and enjoy my music and also to write really great work, and that I was like on the edge of something there, and so it felt appropriate to me.
I'm 2 seconds away from heaven and falling off the face of the earth. I got beer in my guitar as company and hypocrite written on the back of my shirt. This halo's getting so uncomfortable, mind if I take it off for a while? But in the back room they're taking one shots. Damn, but I've forgotten where I put my smile. Cause sometimes I daydream about everything. one, two, three. I'm 2 seconds away from heaven, so won't you just unlock that gate? My backpack's torn and my shoes are worn, and I really need a place to stay. Yeah, I've been traveling without a diamond. Yeah, I've been traveling alone. No, I came 2 minutes after closing time, but do you really have the heart to send me home? 'Cause sometimes I daydream about everything I want this to be. But then I get all worked up by promise breakers, heartbreak makers that all came before me. Come on, baby, let's start over again. All once.
Another song I really like from your album is called Extra. Could you talk about it?
Extra. Oh, I really love that song, but I know that, you know, compared to other songs that I've written, it's not necessarily, like, the best written song in the world. But I personally really like it because I like the way it sits on my range. I guess that's, like, a very musical reason for liking it. I'd written it when I was in college. Like, all of these songs on that album was written a long time ago because I had been, you know, waiting so long to make my first album. And that song is just about, like, it sounds so dramatic, and it's like about, like, being with the girl, but then, you know, she wants to be with me, but, like, she wants to, like, be with this guy, and it's kind of dramatic, but like, all of that happened when I was 14 years old, so it's, like, definitely, like, really melodramatic. And it was, like, someone I knew for 2 weeks, but so that's where that song comes from, just a part of my youth.
11:30 in the morning on Pennsylvania Avenue, she was writing when I sauntered over. She said, girl, I almost didn't recognize you. And we didn't kiss and we didn't linger. We pushed the situation away with our eyes. When I asked her what she'd been writing, she said the 40 different ways we could say goodbye. And she's got 1,000 holes in her heart, and she's tried to complete her with 1,000 men. And just like a sewer, I stepped right up and attempted to make it all again. And I think there's no other, when I am her lover, I can make her gasp and reach for the sky. But I'm just an extra in her film. I'll never be the lead, but I'm sure as I'm gonna try. We were sitting facing the ocean. I could hear the sound of the ice in her drink, and I softly curse the silence, 'cause we already had way too much time to think. And she tells me that she's in love with this boy. I know that she's lying from her touch, and she can't freaking say that she wants me, 'cause admitting it aloud would hurt too much. And she's got 1,000 holes in her heart, and she's tried to complete it with 1,000 men. And just like a suitor, I stepped right up and attempted to make it a whole again. And I think there's no other, when I am her lover, I can make her gasp and reach for the sky. But I'm just an extra in her film. I'll never be the lead, but I'm sure as I'm gonna try.
How about the song Dance America?
So that was something I'd written when I was 17, and it sort of was the beginning of me writing songs about politics and socio-political issues. And for me, I was just seeing how, you know, money was driving so much, and it was just sort of my attempt to speak back to the commercialism of the world.
I held her hand at midnight, yeah. I'd never seen her this clear before, you know. I brought her close so I could see her in the light, and she bled all the way to the dance floor. She said, I gave them everything I had. They took me to bed and dirtied my name, and the women drove me crazy in a shiny red Cadillac. I guess these people are just all the same. Again and again, and they tore her apart for their own gain, and they took out her art and made things dark and created stuff like artificial rain. Oh, and I said, come dance with me, America. Slip with grace in my embrace. Don't take the blame for the work of men, just show me how to dance and you'll dance again. Lady Lion toys. They made angry adults from all the happy girls and happy boys. They put a price tag on every mountain and tree. They issued everyone a guidance counselor called a TV. Though they haven't yet torn down the sky under which we sleep, they've already figured out how to clone your sheep. McDonald's will sell beauty products pretty soon, and someday they'll try to commercialize. Sick girl, you think you're so tough. You flirt with us and then you stab us in the back. And you take, cause it's never enough. And she says, hey, it ain't me who's doing this. Oh, and I say, come down to me, America. You're so divine, oh, won't you be mine? Don't take the blame for the work of men. Just show me how to dance or you'll dance.
And now it's time to find out more about Good Asian Drivers, the band, and their new album.
Drive Away Home is Good Asian Drivers' debut album from 2009. It features a collection of stories, poems, songs from the road, from being on tour, and the collaborative energy between Melissa Lee and I. It also features a bunch of other artists from our own community, friends of ours, Mara Levy, on the bass, Chris Takeda on the electric guitar, and Melissa Bartel on the keys. And it was just a really great experience to get in the studio and share some of our work. One of the songs was nominated for Out Musician of the Year. It was Queer Nation. The lyrics are about the queer community and features a lot of different themes about queers, trans people, people of color, and so the entire album was just a journey.
Where did the name Good Asian Drivers come from?
I came up with the name, well, one day, you know, we actually had been solo artists ourselves for a while before we decided to come together and do a tour, so originally it was meant to be the name of the tour, and we'd sat down and tried to think of what it could be called for a while, and we came up with all these like awful names that didn't really stick, and so we decided to not talk about it and just, you know, go home and think more about it. And while I was driving, I guess I was texting Kit, because I was driving and I came up with this idea, and I was like, oh, Kit, it should be Good Asian Drivers, and then it stuck from then on.
I want to ask each of you a little about your background. So Melissa, tell me a little about your performing background.
Sure. I'm classically trained, so I play the piano, the violin, and from like a very young age, but I never really got into songwriting until I was about 12 or 13. And then I started writing songs on the piano. And then when I was about 15, somebody gave me a guitar, and I picked it up and started writing songs and performing in the Boston area. And I think it just sort of built like that. I had a goal that I wanted to put out an album, and I just performed in the subways and at talent shows at school and at community events. And I think about 7 years later, I finally put out the album, which is 2 seconds away.
Kit, what's your performing background?
So I've been writing poetry since I was six, probably, and the first time I remember doing a spoken word poem was when I was nine. But I didn't really start getting serious or competitive about it until I moved from Hawaii to Boston and found the slam community, which is a really, you know, performance-heavy theater kind of way of doing poetry. And from then, I got onto a team and I started touring and performing with the Lizard Lounge in Boston, and then on my own too during college. But it wasn't until a couple of years out of school that Melissa and I had quit our jobs and then started being full-time artists.
How did you start performing together?
I think we just knew each other from the community, and we just knew of who each other was, and things worked out in our lives that we were able to come together. I think Kit approached me and was like, oh, do you want to quit your job and go on tour? And I'd always want to do that. And, you know, at the time it was perfect because I wasn't you know, I wasn't doing anything I was crazy about. And so it's just was a great idea. And then we started performing together and shaping our performances together.
Yeah, it was actually conceived in the back, like, makeup area of a drag bar where we had both been invited to perform as part of a queer Asian cabaret.
Some of my listeners may wonder if you two are a couple.
A lot of people ask us that, and we're not a couple. We're two Asians that are about the same age.
Okay, I knew the answer to that, but I wanted to get into the show.
In a way, the fun song, On the Road With You, is sort of an introduction to them, so I just had to hear about it.
It was something fun that we had done when we first started on the tour. We were coming up with just really ridiculous ideas. I just wrote that song. I think we didn't have enough songs for the album. This is the secret that I'm just now revealing, but I think we didn't have enough tracks for the album, so we're like, hey, we should stick this at the end. This will be fun. So that's what ended up happening.
It was supposed to be a hidden track, but now it's out.
He is vegan.
She eats steaks.
And I get grossed out by the tasteless quinoa thing he always makes.
I lift up to 40, and that's on one arm.
I could barely lift 10.
I'm a tranny boy who's secretly gay.
And sometimes I just can't stand men, so why do I love you when I can't stand you at all? Your oil,
your water,
your cooler,
your hotter.
So I ain't got a clue. Make me take the gigs that I don't want to take.
You tell me to meet you, then you're 3 hours late.
It sounds crazy, but I just can't wait to spend the next 12 weeks on the road with you. Kit, move over there, you're gonna get me sick
again. Do something without me and
ass. Stop stalking people on MySpace.
I hate that.
Stop flirting with the drummer.
Stop sleeping with my roommate.
I'm not sleeping with her anymore, I swear.
I saw you.
He is short.
Well, I guess she's tall.
Tall for an Asian girl, which to white folks means nothing at all.
She cries over girl.
Hey, 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 hey. He sings off key. You know, just cause you take testosterone doesn't mean that you can pick on me.
So why do I love you when I can't stand you at all?
Your oil,
your water,
your cooler,
your hotter.
So I ain't got a clue. You pretend to be an angel in front of my mama.
I hate it when you talk about your lesbian drama.
It sounds crazy, but still I wanna spend the next 12 weeks on the road with you. And maybe it's got to do with the fact that we're both Gemini.
We're kind of insane, and I'll try to explain, and I'll try to verbalize the reason I love you when I can't stand you at all.
Your oil,
your water,
your cooler,
your hotter,
so I ain't got a clue. Your love for mean girls is completely bizarre.
I hate it that you never let me play your guitar.
Still, I wanna hop in our car and spend the next 12 weeks on the road with you. On the road with you. On the road with you.
Hey, stop showing off.
On the road with you.
You've got at least three different demographics going for you, lesbian, transgender, and Asian. Each of those affect appealing to an audience, and do they represent different challenges?
Because our albums are so personal, it's really inevitable that our identities will come out in the lyrics. A lot of times I might reference being trans or queer, and you know, Melissa might do the same about being like queer or Asian. And so I guess it's affected us in that it really lets us connect with the communities that we identify with. I mean, not all our work is focused on our specific identities like that, but you know, I think when somebody identifies the same way, they'll pick it out of a song and they'll sort of like cling on to it, and it's sort of like a gem for an audience member when they're listening to something that, you know, everybody's grooving to, but they have like a special connection. In terms of it being limiting, we've definitely talked about it before, if it was limiting for us to be so out, and I guess in a way it is, and in a way it isn't. We can't really deny that, like, racism or sexism or homophobia doesn't exist, transphobia doesn't exist when we're out doing shows. But it sort of also keeps us going sometimes, you know, in terms of being able to feel accomplished in helping people as well as making great music.
It's like no matter what kind of songs I write, whether or not it's outspoken, whether or not it's a subtle, it can only do good for the community. You know, it's still a positive thing to see someone from your community performing and doing well, no matter what songs they're writing about.
Absolutely. It's just powerful to see, you know, Melissa belting out a song as, you know, an out lesbian Asian American. It's inspiring for people.
Please tell me about For Our Daughters.
I think I was just thinking about the future generations of people out there. And we were actually having a tour planning meeting and running up against, you know, some walls in terms of finding venues and planning. And we were just sitting around like going, how are we going to make this happen? How are we going to, you know, finance a 3-month tour? And we're a little bit, you know, shooting really far off on this, and I just thought, you know, we're doing it and it's not impossible. And then I started thinking about, I always wanted to have daughters, and so yeah, it's sort of a poem written to tell them, all the next generation of women, that you could do whatever you want and any lifestyle is a viable choice.
We were playing around with writing a chorus for it where it would be sung, and I think we were just going on the themes of what to tell our daughters, you know, and so for the chorus I was trying to drive home that, you know, we should like stop listening to like all the rules and, you know, what we're supposed to do as like Asian women, and to really just break out of that and do what we dream and hope to do with our lives.
Every syllable, every word, and every breath is for you. See, for us, it's late nights in creation with Chinese food, mechs, and guitars. We're playing a dead silence in dive bars while the bartenders take shots alone. We'll make love to microphones so that someone, somewhere, will catch a verse. Overhear us sing freedom songs on the subway while we rehearse for our next show, so that we can tell our daughters to make the same mistakes that we did and dream. Turn her head from the ticker screen and shoot for the movie screen. See, little girl, if you want to, someday you can fight fire with axes or sing songs backed by symphonies to the masses in Central Park that will see past the slant of your eyes and see your beauty shine on an interview with CNN as the new CEO of a tech startup sensation. You can run a bank with the same compensation as the big boys. Start a nonprofit in Maine that brings joy to children with cancer. You can be a modern dancer, a poet, a reverend, a chef, the only female engineer in your office. See all of this and more. Don't let the world shut its doors on you yet, baby girl.
You're listening to Do What You Should. You're listening to For Your Own Good. Just another voice telling you what to do. Is listen, your dreams are calling out to you.
You can shine on your own. Take time on your own to find that passion in the hollow part of your soul. Make mistakes until you know what you want to try next. See, your life will rebound. You might find your passions at the poetry slam in the basement of the lizard lounge, in the waist-high weeds, barefoot at the organic farm, maybe tattooed on your girlfriend's arm with a Buddha sitting cross-legged on a lily pad. See, this is your path. So go be a mechanic or chairwoman of the board. Win tournaments on your surfboard and be at the top of your drawing, your painting, your acting, and then your calculus class. See, little girl, when they laugh, Melissa is gonna smack him with her guitar. So go far, but right back, 'cause we'll still be here and the world. Momona. Juicy. Round. And right. So go on and write. Sing, run, and slam until your pencils break and the speakers blow. 'Cause we'll come watch your show while you show them what you got. So go it until your voice cracks and don't regret not one second.
You're listening to Do What You Should, and you're listening to For Your Own Good. Just take my voice telling you what to do. And listen, your dreams are calling out to you.
Tell me about the song, Here's to You.
Here's to You is actually, it was originally my song, and I had written it when I was in college. I went to a school in Boston in my freshman year there. My roommate had been sexually assaulted, and the school wasn't very supportive. They didn't really do anything, and essentially they blamed her and said it was more of like her issue, and it really upset me, and so I had written the song as sort of an anthem for women. I brought it into a Good Asian Driver's rehearsal, and, you know, Kit had added some spoken word to it, and it became what it is.
Yeah, when Melissa had brought in the song Here's to You, I thought it was, you know, one of the most empowering songs I had ever heard. And so as a trans man, I wanted to make sure that I was writing something as like an ally to the women's community and, you know, in like a supportive way, channeling, you know, some of the inspiration from the song itself.
She opens her tear-stained eyes and realizes it's morning. Her head is screaming, million every part of her body seems to be sore. He sleeps beside her like a ghost creeping by her with a sly and satisfied grin. Her mind is pressing rewind, desperate to remember the night before. She slowly slips herself up off the tangled sheets of the bed. Little bit dazed like an incomplete phrase, she stumbles to the door. And suddenly he sighs and opens his eyes, and with a lazy smile like he's just been fed, he said, baby girl, I don't understand what you're crying for. Well, I'm listening, girl, I'm listening, girl. With a drink in my hand, I toast to never letting us forget. 'Cause you know what they all say, you asked for it anyway. Well, here's to you, demanding some respect.
They say brothers should walk a mile in a sister's shoes, but a mile's just a teardrop in a decade of black and blue. She sings gently into the night, set free to find each other. She's your everyday you love so much, holds the world together for a living. Gives it all away while they take turns taking fights when she has two tongues by her side. Rocks a mic like a sword, breaks bread more times than Jesus. From blanket dust carries lovers over her shoulder. Finds life when others have unearthed all they thought to exist. She'll kiss lips that leave her still awake when the dawn makes deals never to return. Earns everything with pride, smiles alone in reflection, showing nothing
but beauty. I'm a listening girl, I'm a listening girl. With a drink in my hand, I toast to never let
'cause you know what they all say. You ask for it anyway. Well, here's to you, demanding some respect. So here's to the women who write, women who sang, women who rock. Here's to the women who fight, and to the women who have fought. And here's to the artists, the doctors, the teachers, the athletes, the strong and the brave. And here's to the women who do business with men, and to the women who misbehave. And here's to the women in the army, and here's to a little bit of defiance. And here's to the work of those filmmakers who break the silence. And here's to the women who run things, own things, fix things, and refuse to be hidden. And here's to the women who love freedom, and to the women who love women, yeah. And here's to all the mothers, and here's to all the daughters, and here's to all the sisters, the wives, the girlfriends, and those who just love being alone. And here's to all the women of the world, from Songo, Mozambique, to the plains of Mongolia, from the black beaches of Iceland to the favelas of Brazil, and to those right here at home.
Smiles alone in reflections and broken glass, knowing that a woman is humanity's perfection, molded by soft hands and love. So sing it, girl, until you're the last one standing. Belt until the big boys' eardrums burst. Your sweet lullaby will carry us into tomorrow, and tomorrow's coming right now. So sing it.
This is Melissa Lee.
And Kit Yan of Good Asian Drivers.
And you're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
Performing spaces for lesbian artists have not always been traditionally open to trans artists. Did you run into this, and how did you deal with it?
It's interesting. I think for the most part, all the places, this type of venues that we performed has been very welcoming. And correct me if I'm wrong, Kit, I don't think we've had any sort of incidents while we've been on tour regarding that. But, you know, at the same time, we as a group were very aware of that issue. And, you know, for example, you know, many people have said, oh, Melissa, you know, you should play Michigan's, for example. You know, but that's a situation where they're not supportive and historically haven't been to trans artists. And so it's not a show that we would ever do or, you know, or want to do. So we're very aware of that.
Yeah, we're also aware in a sense that we check in with the organizers. We, like, try to find out if it's what kind of space it is because, you know, as, like, a trans man, I understand that there are, like, women's safe spaces that may be, like, a community event that I may not necessarily be a part of, and that's definitely something we try to find out. I mean, every community deserves their chance at a closed and safe space and time.
For a lesbian, going on tour with a trans man turned out to be quite an education, as evidenced in the song My Boy.
I had written that song after I had gone on the first 12-week tour with Kit, and it was because I felt like, you know, I didn't know anything about trans issues went first, you know, when I was first getting into it. In fact, you know, asking a lot of silly questions and, you know, rather ignorant questions too at the beginning. And I felt like, you know, in so many ways, I still don't know that much about trans issues, you know, not having lived it, but having gone on the tour and really, really getting really close to Kit and knowing him as a good friend and person was just really changed my life. And so I had written that song about that.
I used to think the tea meant trivial between me and my friends too. Who cares if I mix up my he's and she's? Just as long as you know I didn't intend to offend you. But you're a blessing in disguise. Loving you has opened my eyes. And all of our shifting faces came out of the woodworks in all these different places. I got revolving wands of my own, but we just said fuck it, and then we embraced it. Take my secrets to your grave, and I intend to keep yours safe. Yes, I'ma keep yours safe. 'Cause you're my boy, oh my boy, my boy. Let's get back on that highway. Unfamiliar lands, duffel bag in our hands. This time we could even fly away. My boy, oh my boy, my boy. So can you hear the music now, young girl? 'Cause I'm your girl. Let's get our asses back out of town. I love the way Montana looks when the mountains are looming by a lake that is frozen. I am reminded by the path that you took each time I call you by the name that you've chosen. You jot down your poetry, I bottle all the mine inside me. Oh, 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 oh. You laugh every time I sigh loud and dramatically say that I think that I'm dying. You raise a skeptical eyebrow, 'cause you can always tell whenever I'm lying in a language no one understands. We contemplate our secret plans. The world is in our hands. 'Cause you're my boy, oh my boy, my boy. Let's get back on that highway. Unfamiliar lands, up a bag in our hands. This time we could even fly away. My boy, oh my boy, my boy. So can you hear the music now? Cheering fades and we're all alone, and I'm staring away 10,000 miles from home. I'm only hearing my voice singing love songs as we cross another sailline. 'Cause you're my boy, oh my boy, my boy. Let's get back on that highway. Unfamiliar lands, duffel bag in our hands. This time we could even fly away. My boy, oh my boy, my boy. So can you hear the music now, young girl? 'Cause I'm your girl. Let's get our asses back.
I like it. Actually, I've played already on my show the track Tranny Shack.
Oh, wow. That's an oldie. At some point in my life, I released a bunch of like little albums that were just spoken word. And Tranny Shack is one of them. It was from like a really early identity phase in my life. And I was like feeling a little bit frustrated. I was more trans questioning at that point, and then trying to channel sort of those feelings and into a spoken word piece. Tranny I hear Harvey Katz, he makes like a little PSA before he performs, and he tells people that tranny is a word that can only be used by us, you know, and not necessarily like for the mainstream world to use to refer to trans folks. And I definitely agree with that. So Tranny Shack is maybe a little bit of an attempt to reclaim reclaim that word.
I'm going to go right into it. I'm a spoken word artist, slam poetry, a.k.a. talking. So I do some of my tranny talking for you right now. Welcome to the Tranny Shack. We got cross-dressing, gender-bending, makeup, strap-ons, pom-poms, and cargo pants, heels, slacks, baseball caps, tattoos, piercings, bikini strings, and hiking gear. Stolen back from queers for queers. See, we're here to erase the gender lines, put the boundaries of sex behind us, and, well, look good doing it. See, people think that we're a circus ring of drag kings and fairy things, and that statements are our cologne and clothes, and we just want the world to know we're queer. I mean, why else would we be here? Just God forbid I'd want a normal life or the right to call my girl my wife. See, we just want attention through our actions and our dress, and we're going to try our best to constantly remind you of that, to make your lives miserable, to make you uncomfortable. You see, our favorite pastime, well, is garnering harassment. We love being outlets for other people's rants and vents for their sexual insecurities or just plain inability to express themselves the way they want to. See, if society's going to hold them down, then who the hell can they oppress? We'll just pick the people who dress differently. How about act differently? He's gonna wake up in the morning just frustrated he has breasts. It's just a constant reminder of the sex he was born with. He climbs out of bed, and instead of confronting his shit, he's gonna jump in the shower. But he can hide nothing from his naked body because this mirror is always going to be there to tell him the truth in the end. And those fucking boobs, well, they're still staring at him. And he can't stop staring at them. But he has to when he tapes them down and throws an undershirt on them. I mean, they were small enough for Eddie, but they'll never be small enough for him. His chest never tight enough for him. So he opens the closet, takes a look at his clothes, pulls on his favorite colored shirt and a pair of men's stickies and sips them on one leg at a time. Skate shoes one foot at a time and he's off. And today, the lady at the counter wouldn't sell him food because she didn't believe him when he said, yes, that's me in my ID. I swear it. And today, they laughed at him at the clothing store. And today, they wouldn't let him into the dressing room without a fight. And today, they drove by and yelled dyke at him. And today they asked him to change. But today, he said no. Today he fucked the gender roles, trashed the norms, and went shopping. Because this tranny boy can outshout all the ladies, and even some gay boys. And the reality is that my friend Antonius, well, he looks better in a halter top than I ever will. The reality is that some girls would kill for a drag queen's body. So welcome back to the Tranny Shack, where we don't need anyone to cut us slack for who we are. Because, yeah, we're going to drive our muscle cars, hike up our skirts to get on that bar stool, break every fucking rule in the rule book, and let all the people know that, yeah, that's right. My life, well, it is real. Thank you.
Asian GLBT artists have not been very visible. Can you comment on that?
I mean, it's true. And I think, you know, you can probably count on one hand, like, all of the more prominent queer Asian people that are out there in the media and in the arts. And so for us, the purpose of our tour to begin with was to just expose visibility about these issues and really also to try to do a viral sort of marketing too, because we want to reach people who may not have a chance to come to our shows, who may not, you know, have a supportive network. And so we try to use internet and online media to try to reach those people too.
Tell me about the song Third Gender.
I think I wrote Third Gender in college and it has gone through a lot of drafts because as my perception and understanding of gender has changed, so has that piece. And so as I grew to understand, you know, my relationship with gender more, I've found that the queer community has a wealth of identities, very specific identities, very fluid identities that people identify with for, you know, a lot of really great reasons. And so I also was talking a little bit about the difference between sex and gender in sort of a lighthearted way, and also a little bit about that track is about the commercialization of the queer community and gender. So it's meant to be a really fun piece that's upbeat, but also drives home some serious issues with, which I think actually the music helps. I don't know if Melissa, you can speak a little bit more about the music.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we were recording in the studio, we didn't really have a solid idea of what we wanted that to be. So I remember Kit was saying how he wanted sound, and everybody was really confused as to really what he wanted. but actually, Ashley, our drummer, and Imara, who was playing the bass with us, basically just went into the studio and was like, hey, let's just sort of make it sort of experimental and let's play around with it. And they did it in one take, and that was how it turned out. And it sounds great.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that one.
Alright, so gender should be as simple as gay or straight. Because if you're attracted to the opposite gender, you're straight. And if you're attracted to the same gender, well, I guess you're gay. Therefore, if you have a penis, you're a man. And if you have a vagina, then you're a woman. Straight shot. Straight answer. Gender. See, gender is man next to woman. Not touching, but separate. Gender is America's controlled nationalism bullshit. Gender is birth certificates for babies born into gender, housing applications, checkboxes, and even getting an email address. This is gender. But I ask you, is it truly worth embarrassment, imprisonment, or harassment for your gender identity? So, excuse me, but are you a man or are you a woman? And you changed your name to Kit now, so do you want to be straight? And you look like a boy now, so you're straight, right? But back when you were Laura, you were gay, as if sexuality and gender were things that you could purchase on impulse. Pulling up to the register and carefully picking out gay, straight, man, or woman, neatly packaged for easy consumption, then you should be able to do it with ease. Purchasing a gold foiled bar of gay, and then a plastic bag of man, and then walking out of that grocery store fabulously onto the set of Queer Eye. But it's not that easy. Because sometimes my gender is boy who looks like a girl who likes boys, and sometimes my gender is trans, and sometimes my gender is chilling out in between, but most of the time my gender is fuck you, mind your own business. But it can't be that way, because gender is so rigidly defined, neatly outlined and nicely colonized, organized and clearly understandable, yet the gap is becoming gendered, and I'm standing in line for the bathroom with girls, girls, boys, bi, transsexual, transgender, queer, questioning, curious, polyamorous, intersex, sexual, asexual, trisexual, omnisexual, multisexual, pansexual, gender neutral, gender queer, multigendered, androgynous, drag king, drag queen, butch, femme, fairy, two spirit, bear, dyke, lipstick, tranny, boy with an eye, F to M, M to F, boy dyke, bi dyke, half dyke, queer boy, X straight, and that's just the beginning. But ask a member of the Zuni tribe about the Hamana's gender, they will tell you. South Asians about the Hijra, and they'll tell you that it's Hijra. Hawaiians about the Mahus, and they'll tell you that it's Mahu. The Americans about the Trannies, and they will tell you that they don't know. See, there may be as many as a million genders, identities, and sexualities just floating around, waiting for the right person to snatch them up, put them on, and proudly parade around in their new skin, unrestricted by layers and identity, or limitations of culture, society, or social construction. See, this new gender is a function of inner desire and genuine understanding of self to be lived. So go ahead and show us where the bathroom is.
This is J.D. Doyle, and I've so enjoyed bringing Melissa Lee and Kit Yan of the Good Asian Drivers to you on Queer Music Heritage. I thank them and Michelle Garcia for the interviews for this segment, and thank you for listening. Again, this month, I've tried to tell you about Queer Nation, And in part one, you heard Houston activist Ray Hill talk about it and got to explore the musical agenda it gave to the early 90s band Queer Conscience. And in this segment, I brought things up to date. I so love that Kit and Melissa recorded the very appropriate closing track, the slam poet piece called Queer Nation.
Queer Nation is a piece that is a little bit more on the serious side, inspired by going out to the nightclubs and going out to the bars. And one night I actually was out in the bars and I saw this woman sexually molesting other women. And it actually put me in check. I thought, gosh, I never see women do that. That's just so outside of my normal frame. So it got me thinking about all the different types of problems that may exist within our community that I experience, that my friends experience on a regular basis that aren't really the issues that people talk about a lot, because I think sometimes we don't tend to talk about problems in the queer community because we're trying to hold it together. But it's still important to sort of keep our family in check. And so I drew from a range of experiences from people and myself and that story of that particular night to write Queer Nation. And it's actually one of my favorite tracks on the album because I think it also sounds beautiful.
It's microphone night, and dim lights make for good queerioke. Hey, this is my town, where feminists rule and old school is cool again, and new school's working through lots of identity issues. But it is an open door policy in gay old queer nation, so come in with your red, black, orange, green, blue, yellow handkerchiefs dangling out of your back pockets or wrapped around your neck. With your fag ties, your skinny ties, your tie-dye, your cuff pants, your trucker hats, your mohawks and faux hawks, your red socks, your glass cocks, your hard packs, and your soft packs. Just bring it. And I'm frozen, watching as beers fly from bars into crowds, and girl boys and boy girls make out while the DJ blasts house, hip-hop, and 80s. Yes, I said house, hip-hop, and 80s. I'm confused too. But at midnight, the line gets long outside, and chain smokers choke on each other's smoke outside, and baby dykes find pride outside while hippies ride their bikes home to compost at midnight. Man, it is gay here. I mean, it's queer here. And everything is perfect here in gay old queer nation with liberty and justice for all. But I'm watching. I'm watching as her hand slides down another girl's ass. And she doesn't want it. Hey, I thought queer people were past this. That everyone was a feminist, nonconformist, boundary-pushing, progressive, and enlightened spiritual being. But I'm wrong to think that queer people were born with an inherent knowledge that pushed past the nurture of America. But the truth is that we fuck up too. See, we still haven't found our groove on the outskirts of society. We're still using old blueprints with bad foundations, dealing with domestic violence in our queer communities too. And you can still hear the words nigger, gook, chink, and spick at a gay bar fight. You can still watch date rape in mixed drinks under rainbow disco lights. You can still see butches treat femmes like second-class citizens. You can still hear women fighting for voice and taking space at gay prides. You can still see trans women and trans guys fighting for voice among dykes. You can still hear other cultures fighting for voice among whites. It's microphone night. Dim lights make for good queerioke. But what songs are we singing tonight when freedom is invisible, even among the invisible? I thought we got it right this time, but I'm still spitting rhymes about issues that aren't dead, and I still can't read a queer paper without getting a migraine, so we've still got a long way to go. But if we can erase the boundary lines between the communities that confine us, then change will come faster. So what do you say? Well, I say that one day we can sing unity through the word world. And one day we can sing unity through the word people. And one day we can sing unity through the word queer. And one day we can sing unified under dim lights, pride parades of all kinds, and through microphones that preach peace worldwide.
queernation, where everyone is queering the notes and singing rainbows, cause that'll be the only song left to sing at Queerioke.